I think that second to last one, with the resurrection of Christ, and that sin no longer has power in us. What a blessing that is. Amen. I had a blessing today being able to enjoy Academy Day with everyone. I didn't have a maroon jacket. If you need to get me something for Christmas, Pastor, that'll be a maroon jacket. Oh, is that where you found it? My size is maybe a little harder to find. But I love seeing all the kids around. I enjoyed all the projects. Once again, I want to tell everyone good job for your hard work up there in the Talents for Christ. If you are a parent of kids and you're here tonight and they're not at Lake Ontario Baptist Academy, I can recommend the school. I think it's a good one. And it'll be a blessed place. I'm telling our Spanish families this morning that, there's a lot of stuff you read about in the news and papers and school board meetings, and just, I drive school bus too, a substitute, and hearing the conversation, and I wouldn't want my kids anywhere near a lot of that. So amen. This is a good place. My wife and I talked years ago, and if we couldn't have a Christian school, we'll teach them at home. Better than exposing such young, impressionable people to such filth and influence, amen. So if you, please heavily consider that if you have kids. If you are, past that time or haven't had kids, pray for this school, pray for this ministry, pray for these young people that as they grow in the Lord and they grow in their academic knowledge, that God will take them and guide them and lead them to what they can do with their lives that would be a blessing to Him. I'm sure Mr. McDowell has had this conversation countless times with young people who are getting ready to graduate and asking, what do I do next? And you as parents might have had that conversation with your kids. We want them to know what God wants them to do with their lives and to pursue it with everything that they have. Amen. Pastor asked me to preach tonight, and almost immediately the Lord put a message on my heart, but it was with a lot of hesitation and trepidation. It's one of those messages God had to confirm to me, probably more than any other message I've ever preached, to preach this one. And it's one of the messages I've been the most nervous about preaching, which is probably why I needed so many promptings from Him to do it. But if you go in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter number 6 tonight, this is a message Pastor Huber preached many, many times. It was a joke when I was a teenager, and I'm sure it continued after that. I believe I wrote it down. It's one of those few sermons that are in the margin. I have it here in the margin of my Bible at the bottom of Leviticus chapter number 6. And I don't think I wrote it down the first time. I think I remember writing it down the second or third time I heard it. And then I can see in a different pen around the sides, I added more notes, which is probably from another time I heard it after. And it's a message, I remember sitting with Melanie, we were married, and just like, being a little smart act, telling her what the next point was going to be, because I heard it again after that, and it was here in the margins. And it's a message that made a big impact on my heart as a young person growing up. And then I got to preach it two or three times in Mexico to a group of young people there that we spent years working with. And I hope that this principle has made a difference in their lives, and that one day they can share it. And as we look here in Leviticus chapter number 6, the message, of course, is to keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Let's look in verse number 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. A lot of description there. It is the law of the burnt offering because it's a burnt offering. Now, this is the law about the burnt offering because it is the burnt offering, but there's some special things about this offering that make it different. Verse number 10, and the priest shall put on his linen garment, his linen garment, and the linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and shall take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Let's pray. Father, I come to you tonight asking once again for your guidance in preaching this word, that your Spirit would have freedom to speak through your word to the hearts of every soul that's here tonight, that nothing would be said or done to take away from you, that you would receive honor and glory, and that we as your people would be edified and drawn closer to you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. That verse number 13 repeats a thought that's mentioned in other verses here, where it says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out. The thought of to keep the fire burning, as I said, it's a message that has spoken to my heart, and although I won't preach it the same way, you know, Pastor Huber preached it, the truth of God's word, the principle here, is true no matter who's preaching or teaching the message. They had this altar, and if we go back, you can hold your hand here, go forward, sorry, to Leviticus chapter number 9. There was something special about this altar and these burnt offerings that were done upon it. There was a fire on the altar in Leviticus 7, a fire that they were told to always keep burning, to never let it extinguish, never let it to go out. And Leviticus chapter number 9, we see something special about that fire. Verse 22, and Aaron, this is after receiving the instructions, after giving those first offerings they were just instructed about in the chapter that we read. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. These altars were quite high, and they would actually have to climb up to reach the top of them to put the sacrifices on. So after receiving the commandments of God of how to do the offerings, Aaron does them here. And he comes down from off of the altar. And look what happens. Verse number 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. This is the fire that they were commanded to never let go out. It wasn't a normal fire that anybody started. Watched some documentaries about some pizza places in New York and stuff that have original dough starter from back like in Italy, and they've had it for generations upon generations upon generations, and they always build the new crust out of that. I don't know if any of you do sourdough, and you have this growth on your counter that husbands you might have seen on the... It's like a bubbling, fermenting mixture of dough that has to be fed and kept alive. And it's weird because it's gooey and it sticks to things, but it's alive. And that's not normal. That's science fiction. That's not supposed to happen in my kitchen. But you have to keep feeding it and keep it going. And you can use it and use it and use it and use it as long as you keep it fed. God started a fire here in the altar. And he told the people, keep that fire burning. Don't let that fire go out. There is something special about this one. This is God who started this. God began it. And as we jump forward to our day here and now, God has begun a marvelous work in us. As we look to salvation, when in John chapter 3, when he says, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. If you're saved here tonight, if you have begun a new Christian life, if you've repented of your sinful ways and you've turned to Christ and called upon the name of God for salvation, God says, I've begun something new in you. I've started a new fire in you. There's a new life in you. Don't let it go out. Don't let it be extinguished. Don't let it grow cold and grow hard and grow dull. Keep pursuing God. Keep seeking after God. Keep pleasing God. Romans chapter number 6 tells us, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We have started a new Christian life. There is a fire that burns in the heart of every Christian. the gift of the Holy Ghost within you. With that blessing is a lot of responsibility. I have God within me. I mean, one hand, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. On another hand, I feel like I just gave a chainsaw to my little baby. Like, I don't know if I'm equipped to handle that, having God live within me. It's something to live up to. It's a responsibility that we have. I fear too often we begin to look at our Christianity as simply the blessings of being saved, and we forget about the responsibilities of being saved. We thank God for what He has given us and what He has forgiven us for, and we know what we should do for Him, but we often just get content to stay happily in the middle. As we look back in Leviticus chapter number 6, we see that God commanded them once again, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. God begins the fire. God started it. God began the work here in Leviticus upon the altar, giving them the law, giving them the sacrifice. It was Christ's death on the cross that began the church and the ability for us to become the children of God. It all starts with God. There's nothing man can do to save themselves. It had to be God, because sin is against God. The sacrifice had to come from God in order to please Him. As we have this fire, we look at the privilege and the blessing and the honor that we have to live for God. In Ephesians 4:22, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God has begun something new. Will we keep it burning? I don't believe, you know, for the purposes of the illustration here, that you can't lose it. God gave it to you. He promised He was going to keep it. But you have great influence on what happens in this new life. You decide, am I going to grow? Am I going to stay stagnant? We need people who want to press on, who want to grow, who want to see more and do more and be more, not for the sake of the experience or for the works that, you know, gaining some righteous glory, but for the glory of God the Father, that we would continue to push on and please Him. It says, let's go on a little bit here. I don't want to say too long in the beginning and we'll never finish the message. There's the wind that starts the fire. The wind that starts the fire. If we go to Acts chapter number 2, we see the day of Pentecost. And as the disciples gather together, it tells us there that the Spirit moved in like a mighty rushing what? Wind. And the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to the church, to the Christians, to the saved. Where does revival begin? It begins in the heart of man through the power of God. I can sit here and with all my heart and might want revival. But if God doesn't move, revival will not come. Man, we can conjure up a lot of things. I bet Brother Roger and I could sit down and pick out the youth choir songs that really stir up people. And we could put together a program. And there's certain phrases that pastor could probably say that always get an amen. But that doesn't mean God is within a million miles of the place. Christians, we need to want and desire the movement of God, but plead with Him to bring it, because it starts with Him. In Acts chapter number 2, we see that day of Pentecost. Go with me to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. I want to challenge you this evening to think about, what is God starting in your life? What work has God begun in you? If we're saved and we have that ember of a flame, you know, just that glow, we burn wood in our house, and sometimes it looks dead in there in the stove until you crack the door a little bit, and the wind passes through, and the draft starts going up the chimney. And what happens? Suddenly things start to glow. And you know there is still life in the fire there. There's still hope. I don't have to crinkle up 50,000 newspapers and find some kids. Like, it's good. I can keep it going. But we need the wind. I don't know. I like watching survival shows, and they'll make a bundle of like grass and mosses and twigs and wood shavings, and they can store just an ember that they can carry like in a coffee can or inside a coconut or however they're doing it this time, but from campsite to campsite, and put that thing in that tinder bundle, and what do? Anyone seen this? They sit there and they just blow on it. And all of a sudden it just starts smoking and smoking and smoking. It looks like it's choked out, and then in a second, it just flame, and they're quickly trying to put it into the fire because that's how quickly it can take off. When God gets involved in the hearts of Christians who are actively seeking Him, who are living holy, who are pleading for His blessing in their life, who are asking for that revival, who are living in a way that God would want to give them the revival, you never know when it's going to kick off. You never know when the Spirit of God is just going to come swooping through. And you're going to have a moment of glory, whether it's personal or whether it's in a group of people. But God can do something in your heart. It has to come from God. In John chapter number 6, look with me at verse number 63. John 6, verse number 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Look at this. The words that I speak unto you, this is Christ speaking, of course, they are spirit and they are life. What can my flesh offer God? Oh, righteousness that's filthy rags. I got that. What can I offer you? What can I offer myself in reality? I need the movement of God in my life. His Spirit to kick this thing off. I took a lesson from Pastor Huber on how to start a campfire. Everyone already knows what that looks like, right? And I'd seen him do it. Got a big bundle of stuff. It could be a mountain of pallets. It could be brush. It could be whatever. In order to start a fire with Pastor Huber, you needed gasoline. You needed gasoline. And you needed a good amount. And cover everything. Do the trail back. Line it, and boom! I did that in Mexico at teen camp at a fire, and I forgot the trail part. I'm not joking that my eyebrows were singed. I'm like, I did something wrong. You have that brief moment when you light, and the fire is right here, and you think, and I'm not joking, exaggerating, or lying. They were singed here, singed hairs, singed beard. It was singed. I didn't get any burns, though, praise the Lord. I can't afford any scars on my face. But we don't know when God is going to move. You know what your job is? It's to be that tinder bundle. Amen. Just ready. Adding to yourself that little bits of growth and purity and holiness and dedication to God, so that the moment the Spirit of God comes your way and says, I want to do something with you, man, it can just, because I'm ready. I'm ready. Ezekiel chapter number 36, I'll read the verse to you. Verse 26 says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Sadly, we can get used to just letting hardness build up. You've gotten that, Maybe at points of time in your life you've kind of felt that burst of flame where you know God was doing something in your heart and in your life. And, you know, how many of you have felt the Holy Spirit of God touch you? Amen. I hope everyone who's saved today can raise their hand and say, I've had those moments with God. And we think that, man, things are good, but we don't realize that that's just the start. That's just the kindling. That's just that initial gasoline explosion. God wants to see you continue to serve Him, to continue to have that fire burn. Don't be a Christian who's just running on the embers, who's just got little bits of kindling that they keep throwing on and say, that's good enough for me. I start campfires once in a while with the kids, and you see, and you know, you throw on a bunch of, the kids will get some firewood for us. We like to go camping for summer vacation. And, you know, one of the jobs when we get to the campsite, this is being recorded, bring firewood from my house to other states and counties so I don't have to pay $8 for 4 pieces of wood when I get to a campsite. Yep. So the bottom layer of my trunk is usually like 2 things of firewood stacked up across. It probably isn't worth it for the weight and gas by the time I get there, but in my mind, it's worth it. But I don't bring kindling. And we'll get the tent set up, and we'll send the kids out to go get some small sticks so that we can get a fire going. And of course, you either have, you know, a striker, a lighter, you know, blowtorch, whatever it is that you bring with you on vacation, and you get the thing going, and the kids bring sticks, and they bring a decent amount, and they think in their minds, look at all the firewood we just brought. I mean, we're good for about 2 weeks. And you start throwing those twigs on, and what happens? Oh, the fire starts roaring. It looks great. And you turn around to go grab the marshmallows, and you turn back, and it's gone. What happened to the fire? Well, it was just running on twigs and sticks. There was no substance to it. When a fire is running on fumes, when it's running on very little, when it's running on just the milk of the word, the water comes around that can stop the fire. How easy is it to put out a candle? Lick the fingers, a little bit, it's gone, out. Daniel chapter number 10, let's go there together. I don't fully understand what's happening here in Daniel chapter number 10. Brother Parrott's not here tonight to help me. Daniel chapter number 10. Let's go to verse number 12. As God calls Daniel, then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. See, Daniel making a decision to seek God and to please God and to pursue God, but what immediately happens? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, there's a lot going on in there, and I don't get it all. But what I do know that's clear is when you make a decision to serve God, opposition immediately begins. When you're living for yourself, you're living for the world, you're even a cold Christian, there's no fight. There's no opposition outside of maybe the Holy Spirit pricking at your heart, trying to not let it turn to stone. But as soon as you make a decision and you plead God for revival and you seek Him and you ask Him to make a difference in your heart, you know what immediately kicks in? Opposition. I remember hearing this message many times after teen camp when you had come home on fire, just ready. God moved. I felt the wind of the Holy Ghost blowing in my heart, and I'm ready to go. And then there's opposition. God might move in your heart at a revival meeting, during a message here at church. Maybe just a moment in your prayer closet when it's just you and God. And God stirs something in your heart. Last night I was at my computer working on the Sunday school lesson. At the last minute, I changed the order of the parables, so I started a whole new one last night, and it was 12:30-ish. I'm sitting there working on stuff, and I'm reading about the woman who cried and anointed the feet of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit just moved into my heart. And I sit there, and my eyes well up, and I start crying, and I'm lifting my hand to praise the Lord for His goodness to me. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit trying to do something. But you know what comes right after? Attack. Let's shut this thing down. Close it up. Remember, Christians, we have an enemy. And the enemy is real. Satan is real. Devils are real. The principalities and the powers in this world are real. Often, I think, though, in my life and what I see around us, our biggest battle is not against any particular spiritual entity, as it is just against the system that's been under his control for thousands of years that has been built up in direct opposition to the things of God. So that everything we see, look at, want to buy, use for entertainment is all wired against the things of God. That's real. You know what? You could be that bucket of water in somebody's life. Right. Parents, we need to be careful. If God's moving in the hearts of your kids, don't be the one to say, uh-uh. No, that's, Connie, you just don't understand yet. Let me pour a bucket of water on your head. Uh-oh. Or maybe you feel guilty because they want to do more for God than you want to do for God. Husbands and wives, maybe you're intimidated when your spouse wants to seek God and has a closer relationship than you do, and they want to take another step of faith, and you're getting further and further behind. Right. So instead, let's cool you off a little bit. Hold on, slow down. I'm comfortable here. Maybe it's just temptation to sin. Get your return to the flesh. But be prepared because it's coming. You know what a fire needs to survive? A bucket of water. It needs a lot more fire. When we go camping up at the men's canoe trip every year, we get a nice fire going at the last day, burn all the trash that we don't want to bring back, and then it's going though. And you could pour a ton of water on that thing and it'll keep going. We had it, my dad's back a little early. I'm going to tell on him. We had a little brush pile in the back of his house when I was a kid. Little thing, like from me to over there. It was big, and I don't remember the whole thing because I was still quite little, but I remember it's going, and then me and Rick walk out, and there's a lot of smoke out in the field. And sure enough, there's a ring of fire going through the field. And I don't remember which one of us ran back to tell Mom, we've got our boots on, and we're trying to stomp out the ring of fire. Fire department comes. Hoses the whole thing down. I didn't see this part, but I'm told later that night you went back out. And it was burning again. Is that true? No. Okay, I was told that many times. That's what I get for listening to Rick tell stories. But you know what they had to bring to put out that fire? They did not bring, we brought a 5-gallon bucket. No, they had water to put that thing out. Serious amounts of it. Say, when you know a battle is coming, don't try to defend in your own heart and life your little pile of twigs. Because it's not going to survive. And maybe you've done that time and time again where you've made a decision for the Lord and you're on fire for Him and you pursue Him and you're seeking Him and you're begging for revival and God starts to move and you say, "Ooh, I'm good now." Only for it to be put out. Immediately, we need to add the wood that sustains the fire. The wood that helps it to grow. You need to act and begin to put that growth into it. Go with me to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. We'll look at a few things here and we'll finish up the message tonight. John chapter number 20. While you turn there, I'm going to read a verse back in Leviticus chapter number 6 where it says, "And he shall," talking about the priest, "and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place." The priest every morning has to take the ashes from the previous day's fire out of the fire. He changes his clothing and he takes it outside the camp to a clean place, so that that day they can add new wood for that day's fire. If ashes stay in place, you can't have the fire. It begins to smother it and take over. Our firebox in the stove can only fit so much, and as the ashes build up, there's less room for wood. The ashes have to go. Yesterday's victories don't feed today's fire. Yesterday's growth, yesterday's walk with God may get you through yesterday, but you need new wood today. The ashes have to come out so new wood can be put in. Christian, don't be someone who lives in the victories of the past. If you're a 6-year-old Christian or a 106-year-old Christian, you need wood for today. Because God, I do not believe, wants you to just live in the victories of last year, of 10 years ago, of 20 years ago. God wants the fire to burn today. And he needs room in your heart and his life for him to work so that you can do something for him today. I love the history of this ministry. How'd the first class go, Pastor Good? Man, I grew up here in church. I have so many memories about this church, this property, the families that have been here throughout my life. I don't know how many of them are true anymore. I don't trust my memories that much, but I have lots of memories about it, and I love it. I'm preaching a message tonight from one of my, I describe, friend, mentor, pastor, who has taught me so many things about God and service and treating others. I've got so many more lessons from Pastor Kopaczewski before that have been a minister into my heart. But you know what? Tomorrow, I am facing a new day. And I need something from God for tomorrow. And I can't be content to say, you know, remember when I was a teenager? Yeah, those were the glory days when we were, you know, an institute and going out door to door and just seed line ministry. And man, that was just, God was really moving then. Well, what's God doing now? Is God saying that was then, God's done, he's good, and today we just look back and think, man, what a blessing it was. Remember at that camp we went to 5 years ago, how, man, God just moved. Yeah, but God can move today too if we let him, if we plead for him, if we're prepared for him. John chapter number 6, I told you to go there and then I didn't go. I'm sorry, John chapter 20, verse number 6. Scary when you say you think you're repeating it and all pages start turning. Like, oh, well, maybe I didn't say what I thought I said. 20, verse number 6. "Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie in the napkin which was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again unto their own home." And we move on. We're not going to keep going through the whole story, but we see Mary who comes to the tomb that day. And then Jesus appears to Mary. And then Jesus appears to all the disciples later in the chapter. And then Thomas isn't there, but Jesus later appears to Thomas. You know what I thought of as I'm reading this chapter here, what God put on my heart, is the idea that these disciples had walked with Jesus how many years? How many miracles had they already seen? How many victories had they seen? How many messages had they heard? But you know what? That day at the tomb, they couldn't say, "Hey, remember when Jesus did?" Because there was something new that day. And they needed Jesus to show up in their life that day and meet their needs. Christians, I hope that we renew ourselves day by day, that inward man. that God can minister to us through His Word. Go with me to Psalm chapter number 107. Psalm 107. You know what else is another type of wood in our lives is our worship. What sustains our Christian life? What sustains our fire? What keeps us going when we learn to worship the Lord? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hands of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go into a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. We could keep going through this chapter. If that is the worship of your heart, let me tell you, you've got a stack of wood that's ready to burn. Because you know who God is, you know where you stand before Him, and you have worship with Him. That keeps you going. When the bucket of water comes by, no one's going to take away your worship. When you truly know who God is and what He means to you. Go with me to one more, Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. What is the wood in our lives? It's hearing the Word of God. How Christ spoke to His disciples and taught them day by day. It's learning to worship God for who He is, for His wonder, for His past deeds, for His future deeds, even not deeds towards me, just who God is, that He is a wonderful, mighty, powerful Savior. Amen. And then we have our witness. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm reminded of John chapter number 4 when Jesus goes, Pastor, we're just preaching on it. Talks to the woman at the well as He sends the disciples away to get food. And then the disciples come back. And what are they? Jesus says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. My meat is through the will of Him that sent me. Doing God's will in witnessing, sharing the gospel and the truth of God with others will sustain you. An unattended fire quickly becomes an extinguished fire. This happens too often in my house for my liking, especially these days where it's a little cool. So you start a fire, and then it gets hot, and you kind of forget about it. And then the sun goes down, it's cool again, and you want to go get the fire. And I ask the question, who put what on a fire? And usually the house is just as silent as that. And I can't say I did either. It's out. Got to start it all over again, especially rainy days. Go find some kindling. It's all wet, nasty. Know what's better? Keeping it fed. Amen. Keeping it burning. Keeping it going. But there's a danger in that too. At night, we stack up the wood in the fire, and hopefully it's going the next morning. And sometimes, you know, Mel will go to bed, and we'll put some wood on, and then I might stay up. Like last night, I was up late working on this, and then when I go to bed, I go to put wood in it, and I see there's, you know, the wind blows through, there's some coals, and that's good enough, right? And I stack the wood in, and I wake up the next day, and why is the house so cold? And you go downstairs, and you expect to see, it must have burned up all that wood really quick. And you open the door, and there's all the wood I just put in, and it didn't take. Christian, we can want revival. We can have desires in our hearts for a while. But we need a true fire from God to change your heart. You know when you have been don't want to say faking it, but just putting on the brave face and going through the motions. And you're throwing chunks of logs onto a fire that's not burning anything. And you'll give up soon enough. Sometimes you got to unpack all of that. Get real with God again. Start small and ask Him, Lord, kindle something in my heart. It has been a long time, Lord, since I have felt something from You. It's been a long time since I knew You called me to do something. Father, I haven't heard Your voice in a while. I need You. Get some kindling ready and keep praying. Keep seeking. And when the Holy Spirit of God touches your heart, be ready to rejoice in it, to give thanks for it, and to grow from it. And keep pushing forward for Him. We have many ministries in this church. School being one of the big ones here. This morning on bus, was there 10 kids, you said, Ms. Colby, that came in today? What a blessing. Sunday school classes were filled. We're starting a new campaign. We got kids telling kids. We've got new Sunday school classes. There's stuff going on. But logs are not a replacement for fire. We need God in our hearts to move in these ministries for anything to work. All this one day might close, the ministry shut down, but God's never done. And if the fire of God is true in your heart and in your life, no matter where God moves you, no matter where what God does with the ministries around you, you can please Him, you can worship Him, you can learn from His Word, you can be a witness for Him, and you can be on fire for Him if you keep the fire burning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for, Lord, the call that You have put in my life to share the gospel, to teach and preach Your Word. I thank You for allowing me to hear the gospel from such a young age. And Lord, for those who were faithful for generations to pass along this flame, this truth of Your Word and salvation. And I pray here this evening that if someone is in the room tonight who they don't know what it means to be a Christian, they don't know that heaven will be their home, they don't know that their sins are forgiven, I pray Your Spirit now would draw their hearts. Father, that they would come to You this evening with repentance, pleading forgiveness, and asking for the salvation of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those tonight who might be just a little cold. Maybe there's been no spark, there's been no kindling for a while now, and it's just been living just moment by moment, throwing little pieces on here and there, and there hasn't been a fire taking off in their hearts. There hasn't been a call. There hasn't been a desire to grow. There hasn't been, Lord, a purpose for what they're doing. I pray, Father, this evening You would, first off, let them see that through Your Spirit, Lord, and then give them that call, Lord. Teach them what they need to do to kindle that fire, to grow closer to You, to push towards You. And I pray, Father, each of us would be faithful to continue seeking You faithfully, with holiness, with truth in Your Spirit, that, Father, we could be a light and a heat and a testimony to those around us of Your goodness in our lives. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. As the piano plays, if God spoke to your heart tonight, the altar is here. You can come forward and pray.